Welcome to From the Cold Corner, a podcast devoted to those impacting the cold food and beverage supply chain. I'm Michael Costa, editor-in-chief of Refrigerated and Frozen Foods magazine, and today our guest is Lowell Randall, vice president of government and legal affairs for the Global Cold Chain Alliance, or GCCA. Welcome to the Cold Corner, Lowell.
Thanks very much, Michael.
In case you missed it, Lowell was interviewed for a story about COVID-19 and the cold food supply chain on our website last week, which you can find at www.refrigeratedfrozenfood.com. Today, we wanted to expand that conversation to talk about some of the best practices those along the cold chain are implementing with success in response to COVID-19. And Lowell, first of all, can you tell me how the food industry and the cold chain in particular is coming together in response to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Absolutely. This has been a great example of how people are working together very, very well to address a challenging time. We've been in constant communication with our partners all across the food industry, ranging from the producers and manufacturers to the logistics side, which is our membership with refrigerated warehousing, transportation, distribution, and then with retailers and food service partners all across the food supply to really respond to the challenges that are being brought forward by this COVID-19 pandemic. And I think it all started with this need to be designated as part of the critical infrastructure. And so we worked together very swiftly to communicate with government officials across government, the White House, Department of Agriculture, Food and Drug Administration, Department of Homeland Security, and others. And thankfully, there was broad recognition that food supply is critical for our nation. And so we've been very successful in getting that designated as a part of critical infrastructure. And so that was really priority number one, was to ensure that the food supply chain could continue to operate, particularly when you're starting to see jurisdictions starting to shut down. I live in Virginia, and we just received a stay-at-home order through June the 10th. But the food industry is going to continue to operate because we know that people are going to need that access to food. And so we've got a lot of men and women across the food supply chain that are really working hard to keep those grocery stores stocked. We've also then turned to what are some of the protocols that need to be adopted as we change into this new operating situation with the risk of COVID-19. So those protocols include what to do if you have a positive test, one of your employees in one of your facilities, and how do you safely and quickly address that challenge in a facility and keep operating to keep that food supply chain moving. And we've been very successful in putting those protocols forward and getting great response from the federal government. They're very appreciative that the industry has been so proactive in this area. A couple of other places that the food industry is coming together: priority testing for employees in critical infrastructure areas. Obviously, the medical community and our healthcare providers are very high priority, and we certainly don't want to take any resources away from them. But we also want there to be broad recognition that to keep that food supply chain moving, we need access to things like testing to maintain an adequate workforce, as well as access to cleaning supplies, hand sanitizers, and those types of things. So we're going to continue to work together. And as we see additional relief bills, I think there may be opportunities where the food industry can work with government to ensure that there's recognition paid to the men and women on the front lines of the food industry and really across all of critical infrastructure, and highlighting and thanking them for their dedication.
One of the challenges with the cold chain right now and within the last couple of weeks has been the shift in food service distribution because of the shutdown of restaurants and hotels and schools and volume food service. And I actually just read yesterday that one of the big food service distributors is laying off several people because of that loss of business. But what are you hearing about the shift from food service distribution into retail and into grocery, into hospitals and into areas that are more in need right now? And, you know, how long will that shift take until that part of the supply chain is running smoothly?
It's a good question, and we don't know how long this is going to persist. Obviously, we have the national social distancing through the end of April. That could potentially be extended. So as long as we're social distancing, we believe that this demand at the retail level is going to remain very high. Let me just point out that when you do go into a grocery store and you see maybe not the full selection that you're used to at a given moment in time, that is not an indication that there is a problem with supply of food in this country. It's more of a short-term disruption based on the volume of demand at that retail location. It does take a little bit of time for that supply chain to catch up and do that replenishment. Having said that, our member facilities are largely full across the U.S., and that's full of both product that was originally destined for food service, as well as an increasing volume of product for retail channels. And that is going to maintain as long as we're social distancing, although there's still some critical food service activities that are ongoing to hospitals, to USDA feeding programs and things like that. But we are seeing in some cases, some of our members being asked by customers to divert or change the channel for product that was originally destined for food service and put that more into the retail markets. And our members are working with their customers and in some cases government agencies, depending on the type of product, to ensure that if there are any labeling changes that need to be made, that those can be done efficiently. For example, I know I was working with a member who deals a lot in meat and poultry, and one of their customers had been supplying a lot of those products into food service. And they ask our member to work with them on modifying and the labeling and doing some additional processing, blast freezing of product, and that would enable it to go more into the retail markets. And so I think we're going to see more situations like that in the future as companies adapt and the supply chain adapts to ensure that we have an adequate supply of food both at the retail level, but that food service continues to move. And I would say when you look at our member facilities right now, food service is moving more slowly. So you do have high volume of product from that perspective in our member facilities, but the retail product continues to move in and out of our facilities at a very, very high rate. So again, this is another example of how the food industry is working together across production, manufacturing, and retail and food service to adapt and respond to the challenge.
And what are some of the best practices the GCCA is working on with its partners in the cold chain related to the pandemic? And you may have answered some of that already.
There are a lot of best practices that are being developed as we go into this new challenge. One of the things that we have to recognize is we've got a huge driver community out there that is doing a tremendous job of keeping food moving. And I know that a lot of our members are adopting new practices and best practices to both support drivers, but also provide additional social distancing. So one really innovative solution that a member has implemented is going to contactless driver interaction. They've installed scanners where the drivers would normally come in and have personal interaction with someone from a warehouse facility. They now have scanners where they can scan in bills of lading and any other documents, and those can all be transmitted electronically. And they even put in a video on a loop describing how the new process works, and they've gotten really positive feedback from the drivers. So I think there's some really innovative ways to work with drivers and support that social distancing. I know that some members are putting in additional portable hand washers, additional bathroom facilities, providing food for drivers, as well as providing food for their own employees that are out there on the front lines. As you look more inside the facility, there are some best practices on staggering shifts, on staggering breaks, making physical changes to common areas. People like to congregate. They like to be with one another. And so when you have a common area, a break room, for example, you have some of our members that are physically removing chairs or blocking the seating arrangement so that you can maintain that social distancing in an appropriate way and help slow that spread. We've got members that are also providing recognition for employees. So whether that's a financial recognition or other kinds of recognition about their critical work in supporting the food supply chain, I think there are a lot of examples of how companies are going that extra mile to keep employees safe, support social distancing, and also recognize the critical work that's being done to feed the country.
And obviously, we would rather not be going through this right now, but from a positive standpoint, what sort of efficiencies have been created because of COVID-19, and in particular, the movement of product because of high demand?
One thing that we're seeing some manufacturers and some retailers working with our members to do is to decrease the amount of case picking. Obviously, this is a labor-intensive industry, and as we see this tremendous increase in demand at the retail level and all of the surge in buying, we need to move that product even more quickly in this environment. We've seen some manufacturers and some retailers support our members moving to full pallet into our facility and full pallet out of our facility. And that enables the movement to be much more efficient. And we're also seeing some manufacturers reduce the number of SKUs, the variety of product that would be going in out on a particular shipment. So again, those are ways that you can move product in and out of facilities and get those to consumers in a quicker and more efficient way. And I think we'll continue to see companies work on creative solutions like this as we surges in demand at the retail level and the supply chain continues to perform very well and find these innovations to keep food moving.
What areas of the cold chain have had to evolve faster than others to keep up with COVID-19 changes?
It's a good question. And obviously, our members who have a high volume of retail business are working 24/7. And so we've definitely seen a uptick in activity in those facilities that have that high level of retail product. You're seeing them, again, trying to adapt and meet those changing demands. So that's putting a tremendous value on the labor force. I can't thank the men and women across the food supply chain enough for what they're doing to meet those demands. And we've already talked some about this shift from retail to food service, but I think you're seeing facilities look at their operations and identify how can we be as efficient as possible. And in some cases, that retail product is moving in and out so quickly, it's almost like a cross dock rather than a longer term storage atmosphere. So we're definitely seeing all of that evolve as we continue to move into this COVID pandemic response.
What other questions are your members asking in regards to COVID-19, and what resources does the GCCA offer them?
There are a wide range of questions that are on our members' minds. And first and foremost is, how do we keep operating safely and efficiently? So that starts with having that designation as critical infrastructure and essential business. And we've been working with the federal government very strongly, but that also includes working with the state government. We have developed identification templates for critical workers in our industry so that our members can develop ID credentials that identify these workers as supporting critical infrastructure, and then that helps them with state and local authorities. And that's been a major focal point, is that ability to maintain operations, but then also doing it in a safe way that supports the health of the employees. So we're getting questions. We've got a scientific advisory council that our members can engage on everything from operations to food safety to supply chain operations. And we are getting questions. One of the questions that we got, and it was a very quick answer, is would there be any challenge to food safety as a part of this COVID-19 pandemic? And the answer is that this is not a food safety risk. Yes, we have to be very mindful of sanitation, and we've got really strong protocols in place across all of our member facilities and operations to meet those needs of sanitation and cleaning, but it is not a foodborne hazard. So we're getting some of those kinds of questions. And again, those are easy to answer because the science is strong that this is not a foodborne hazard. Also getting questions about these relief bills that have gone through Congress and recently signed into law. So for example, what are the impacts of some of the paid leave and sick leave provisions, the small business provisions that were in the recent $2.2 trillion package? Definitely, we're providing resources to members on what Congress and the administration have done from an economic standpoint and helping them with webinars and other resources to better understand what those new policies are and how they may be able to have a positive impact on their workforce and their operations. And then I'd really like to highlight a rapid response guide that we've put together at GCCA. That rapid response guide has, it's constantly evolving. I think we're on version 5 now. But this is a document that our members can go to, and it has information on all of these frequently asked questions. It goes into employee health and safety, all of the different protocols, food issues, business operational issues, best practices, and other resources that are available. So I would say that the Rapid Response Guide is probably our number one go-to resource right now. And I would point out that is freely available on the GCCA website, not just for members. We are all in this together. So the GCCA Coronavirus Response website is open to anyone who is interested in accessing those resources. I would encourage anyone listening to this podcast that is looking for additional information on the COVID-19 and the food industry, go to gcca.org and click on our coronavirus portal. We've got a lot of information there to help you with your operations.
One of the items that somehow flew off store shelves, you can call it stockpiling, hoarding, whatever, was hand sanitizer, and it's almost impossible to find today. So tell me about the GCCA's partnership with the Distilled Spirits Council in creating and distributing hand sanitizer. How did that partnership happen?
It's very difficult to find hand sanitizer in your normal retail channels right now. We've been communicating this need through government channels, also on cleaning supplies as well, so it's not just hand sanitizers that are needed across industry. But in addition to our work across government, we know that that private sector has tremendous power and adaptability to meet the needs of the nation. We're seeing that across healthcare, but we're also seeing it in the area of hand sanitizer. And so we started to hear about some of these distilleries that were converting their operations to hand sanitizer. And being a trade association in the Washington, D.C. area, we know the power that associations can have. So we reached out to the Distilled Spirits Council, and they really welcomed our engagement as they are building resources across their membership in finding ways to connect those in need of hand sanitizer with these newly converted operations in these distilleries. And it's been a great partnership to try to help connect these businesses to other businesses. Obviously, since we are designated as critical infrastructure, there is a recognition that the food industry has a specific and particular need for these kinds of resources. Again, not taking anything away from the healthcare providers, we know that they are extremely high priority. So we want to continue to recognize that. But as additional product is coming online in these distilleries, we want to make sure that the critical food facilities have the ability to access some of that product as well. And through that partnership, we've been able to connect our local members with their local members and find ways to get access to that critically needed product.
And looking ahead to the next few weeks or so, you know, what's next for the GCCA and its members when it comes to COVID-19 and the cold chain?
We're going to continue to see challenges when it comes to the uncertainty of the labor force. We don't know how many workers are going to be impacted by the virus. So I think we want to make sure that we remain laser focused on supporting the workforce across the food supply chain. Our members are doing a tremendous job at providing the resources and support for their team members, but I think labor is going to continue to be an extremely high priority and focus for the association and its members. So I would say labor first and foremost. And with that labor, we do want to reiterate the need for those priority tests. As we get more test kits and new technologies for test kits more broadly distributed, ensuring that facilities can have that information so that workers who need to get those tests can get those tests. Those that need medical attention get that medical attention, and those that are healthy can continue to operate. Cleaning supplies we've talked about already, but that is going to continue to be a focal point. And then future relief bills. What does the federal government look at as far as a quote phase four in relief bills, and what impact might those have on our industry? And then I might finally mention trade. We haven't talked much about trade, but that continues to be very important. I'm talking about product not only going into the United States, but also out of the United States, and making sure that port facilities and trade continue to flow in an efficient way, particularly as you have more and more jurisdictions around the world taking steps to quarantine or restrict commercial activity, ensuring that that trade of critical goods such as food is able to continue. So I think those are some of the key areas that we'll continue to focus on over the coming weeks.
Well, thanks again for joining us today, Lowell. And how can our listeners contact you at the GCCA?
First and foremost, our website, again, has tremendous resources. So it's www.gcca.org. Go there for critical resources on COVID-19 response, as well as general industry information. My contact information is on that website, but my email is LRANDEL@GCCA.org. And that's probably the best way to reach me since we're all social distancing and working from home. But that main phone number for GCCA is 703-373-4300. And we definitely look forward to engaging with partners and members across the food chain to help continue to respond to this challenging time.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Lowell. And thanks also to you, our listeners. If you have any comments or questions, you can contact me via email at costam@bnpmedia.com, and I'll be sure to respond. Until next time, this is Michael Costa from the Cold Corner.